We're going to study in Yirtzeh Hashem, Parshas, Bezos HaBracha, Al Pi Meshech Chochma, and our goal for today will be to cover three pieces. They're almost one after the other from the beginning of the Parsha, just we'll skip two little paragraphs. And let's begin with the first paragraph. Hashem Misinai Ba. And it's very interesting that the Sifri derives a very fundamental halacha in tefillah from the Seder HaPsukim here. And that is that Moshe begins with Shevach, and he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He speaks about God appearing from Sinai, and so forth and so on. So I'm going to read to you the text of the Sifri. It's quite possible that you might have a different text of the Or Sameach. I don't know which text you have in front of you. And the Sifri says the following. Kishaposach Moshe. Moshe is going to cry out to Hashem in this parsha with deep, profound supplications for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, Tzorche Yisrael. But first, Tchila, he would not begin, Ad Sheposach B'Shvacho Shel Mokom. He will begin first with praise. So it means that in sequence, Bakosha, which is supplication, comes after Shevach, after praise. And this becomes the structure of tefillah, and on this basis, Chachmei Yisrael will organize the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, Shmoneh Esrei, and the first three brachos of Shmoneh Esrei will form a unit which is called Shvach, and praise of God. And it's only after the praise that we can go on to the second section, which is the middle section of the tefillah, which is called Bakosha, supplication. Af Shmoneh Esrei shetiknu chacham rishonim lo poschu b'tzarcheim shel Yisrael tchila ad sheposchu b'shvacho shel mokom. So we open up the Shmoneh Esrei with the shvach of Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora, and God is great, he's Mater Asurim, and so forth. And then we say Kadosh Ata v'Nora Shmecha. So we have three different brachos, each one is shevach. The first opens with describing God and His greatness. The second speaks about God as the Redeemer, or shall we say, the resuscitation of the dead, the resurrection of the dead. And finally, the third bracha is what we call Kedushas Hashem, Kadosh Ata v'Nora Shmecha. And only afterwards we go on to ask for refuah, for parnasa, for all the different supplications of bakoshos. And it's all predicated on this Zorach Misir La Hashem Misinai Ba, the Zorach Misir Lomo, the sequence in which Moshe Rabbeinu presents the Bakoshas of Tzorche Yisrael. He begins always with Shevach, and we have to follow that as halacha for all generations. Now at this point, Rabbi Meir Simcha is going to try to answer a question without even asking it. You know, just like when we learn Rashi, we always ask, what bothered Rashi? When we learn Tosus, what bothered Tosus? Usually Tosus spells out his question. Now, in this case, Rabbi Meir Simcha jumps all the way to answering the question without even asking it. U'mashano omri baseres yimei tshuva lemar zochreinu l'chaim kosveinu b'sefer ha'chaim. Now, notice, he mentions and focuses our attention on two editions during Aseret Yemei Teshuva and the Tefillah and the Shmoneh Esrei. There are actually four editions, but he's concentrating on two out of the four. The first one is Zochreinu L'Chaim, Melech HaFetz B'Chaim, and that appears actually right after the first bracha, or shall we say integrated into the first bracha. And we're asking Hashem to remember us for life during the days of Din from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. He implies another question, because we have another addition to the tefillah, this time in Birchas Hodah, because following Bakasha, we have another section of Brachos, which is a unit that is Hodah, in which we give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there we say, Kosveinu b'sefer achayim, which also seems like a Bakasha. And we have a section in the middle of Shmon Esrei, which is dedicated exclusively to Bakasha. It's inappropriate to ask Bakasha neither in the first three, which is a unit of Shevach, nor in the last three, which is the unit of Hodah. So in effect, Rav Meir Simcha has two questions over here. Number one, how could they inject a Bakasha into the first three brachas of Shevach? Number two, how did they inject a Bakasha into the last three brachas, which are Hodah? And his answer is in four words. Hakol hu l'shvach Hashem Yisparach. All this is called Shevach. We think and we understand we should categorize it as Bakasha. But we're mistaken. It's really Shevach. Now, to classify a Bakasha as Shevach is a gigantic revolution of sorts. I mean, obviously we're asking God to write us in the Book of Life. There's no greater Bakasha than that when man is begging for his own life. How could he classify that and redefine it as Shevach? Again, if you don't agree with his thesis, you're going to have to come up with another answer and justify how Zochreinu L'chaim is injected in the first three brachos. Now, as far as Kosveinu B'Sefer HaChaim in the last three brachos, he's going to pick this up a little bit later on. How do you take a Bakasha, as we said, write us in the Book of Life, and transform it into Shevach? That's not an easy task. And in order to present his thesis, the Rabbi Simcha builds himself on two psukim, both of which are part of Tehillim of David HaMelech. Now, if I would add a footnote, I would write that if you had to identify one person who walked this earth during the entire history of creation, since the beginning of creation, who personifies Shevach and Odoya and words of praise, it's got to be David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the great singer, the Ne'im Zemiris Yisrael, and in Tehillim, he dedicates himself to Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are other parts of Tehillim and other verses, but if you had to ask me where the preponderant majority of Tehillim, it's all Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it makes sense, from a Meir Simcha's perspective, that we open up David HaMelech's writings of Tehillim in order to get an answer to that question, because David HaMelech is the best person, the best candidate to give us a definition of Shevach. And we'll see now that two psukim are going to allow us to broaden our scope, our definition of Shevach, to include something which at the face of it is Bakasha. And the first pasuk is La Mesim Yahaluka. And David HaMelech presents the thesis that the difference between life and death, between the living and the dead, is Yahaluka. Only the living can achieve Halal Hashem. Once man is dead and he's buried, there's no Halal Hashem. That dimension of Halal Hashem terminates with death. Now, how does that help Rav Meir Simcha? How does that solve his problem? And the answer is that Rav Meir Simcha is changing the entire meaning of this so-called Bakasha of Kosveinu B'Sefer HaChaim, Zochreinu L'Chaim. What we're saying to the Ribono Shel Olam is the following, that there is a goal that has to be achieved, and there's a precondition that's necessary in order to achieve that goal. The goal here is Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the precondition for that is life itself. The dead do not have the possibility of praising God. So when we recite Zochreinu L'Chaim, this is not a bakasha for ourselves, so to speak. It's a bakasha, again, it's hard to say these words, but kaviyochel for the Ribono Shel Olam. And we're asking Hashem to grant us life so that we can continue and fulfill His will that we should be Meshabeachim. and therefore becomes a new categorization. We would categorize Zochrei L'chaim as a bakasha, but no, it's not a bakasha. Why? Because the purpose of life is shevach. Right? Kol Masher Barasi L'chvodi Barasi. So God created everything for the purpose of singing His praise. We don't understand why. We'll never understand why. Why does God, the divine being who's perfect, who's infinite, why does He need our praise? But He makes Himself, He feigns Himself, so to speak, as if He needs our praise. And He created us for that purpose, that we should praise God. However, David HaMelech already teaches us that the precondition to praise God and to fulfill God's will of Shevach is life itself. So when we write, when we say to Hashem, remember us for life, we're asking Hashem to remember us so that we can be Meshabeach. And therefore it's integrated as an extended scope of our definition of Shevach. Second Pasuk, also from Tehillim, Ma'betza b'domi b'riditi al shachas hayodcha afar. Man is created from dust and he returns to dust. And what good is it if I go down to shachas, when it's time to come and I get down to be buried under the ground, 6 feet under, and now my body decomposes and it turns to dust again. Hayodcha afar. Now you have to be very careful about the word hayodcha. The shoresh of the word hayodcha is hodah. It's not yidia. Yidia would be with an ayin. But rather, hayodcha afar. Can the dust praise you? When man and his human body turns and converts itself to dust after death, he can no longer praise Hashem. Yodcha is only for the living and not for the dead. So Rabbi Meir Simcha really illustrates in two different ways, or two different psukim, that man is asking for life because otherwise it's impossible for him to fulfill his purpose in this world for which he was created, namely l'shabach, and only the live people could do that. So lo ha'meisim yaluka in the negative, and not only that, but hayodcha afar. When man is converted to dust, he doesn't have the ability, dust cannot sing God's praises. Hence, when we ask God during the Aseres Me'tshuva for life, we're asking for Shevach, for the ability, the condition to be met so that we can be Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch. Therefore, it's called Shevach and it can be classified. It's not a wedge, it's not a hefsek, it doesn't undermine the integrity of these three brachas as Birchas Hashem. Now, the next line in Rav Meir Simcha is very challenging. And I spent a lot of time on this. He says, "Al pima shebir Rab Nisim Goim b'mafteach al mamoram zal Moshe hichisani." So he's referring to two things. Number one, to the writings of Rab Nisim Goim, and number two, specifically to hone in on Rab Nisim Goim's insight into the pasuk. Not the Pasuk, but rather the Medrash of Moshe Hichisani. So we have to do a word search for Moshe Hichisani, which literally translates that Moshe, you have given us life. Or I should say it really in the singular. Moshe, you have given me life. Now who is this me? It's none other than the Almighty God Himself. Where does Chazal make this statement? So Rav Kuperman is very magnanimous here, very helpful, and he gives us an entire Gemara in Masechta Brachos, and he attaches Rav Nisan Goen's commentary to that Gemara. The Gemara is on Daf Lamed Beis in Brachos, and it's discussing the psukim that record a dialogue between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu following the Chet and the Meraglim. And as you remember, after the Chet HaMeraglim, God's wrath was burning fiery. He wanted to destroy the people. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMibli Yecholes Hashem, that the nations of the world will say that God didn't have the ability to live up to His promise and bring His people into the land. Mibli, Mibilti Yecholes Hashem. Hashem responds, Vayomer Hashem salachti kidvarecha. Kidvarecha means that your words bring me, says God, to forgive the Jewish people. In other words, I'm going to embrace your words, that the nations of the world would say, Hamibli Yecholes, you don't have God the Yecholes, and that's why the people of Israel perished in the desert. The Gemara continues and says that the word Kidvarecha, Vayom Hashem Salati Kidvarecha, is Asidim Umas Olam Lomar Kein. That in fact the nations of the world will say that God doesn't have Yecholes, that Chas V'Shalom, God doesn't have the ability. And therefore, Ashrei Talmud, Sherabo Modelo, how fortunate, how great is the student whose Rebbe accepts the student's argument, the student's logic, and is convinced by the student's presentation. In this case, Moshe Rabbeinu presents the fact that the Umas Olam will say, Ha-bilti, mi-bilti yecholes Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right. Then the Pasuk says, V'ulam chai ani, I am the living God. Amar Rava, how does that phrase of God, how does that fill in, and why does it belong at this point? Okay. Now, Rava says something that is going to make our hands stand up. Melamed. This pasuk, V'ulam chai ani, I am alive, teaches us, She'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Moshe hichyisani. Rashi says, hichyisani, you gave me life, bifnei ha'umos, so that I could live in the eyes of the nations of the world. Imagine, I mean, just think the chutzpah, so to speak, of Rava, to say that Ulam Chai Ani means Hichisani, that Moshe Rabbeinu, you gave life to HaKadosh Baruch. Now, it's interesting, the next Gemara that follows, which is not being quoted here in this Rav Nissen Gaon, is that a person should always begin with Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before going on to Bakasha, and that we derive from Moshe Rabbeinu. In any event, Rav Nissen Gaon, in his commentary on Brachos, says that the adversaries of the Torah, those who wanted to attack the rabbis and Torah Shebaal Peh, they found a great line here in the Gemara and Brachos of Rava. And how could it be, this is a joke, to say that Moshe Rabbeinu gave life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, God is perfect. He's eternal. How could human being, as great as he was, Moshe Rabbeinu, finite material man, how could he give life to God? And Nirim HaDvarim Sheinu Miskablim HaAdas, and therefore these detractors from the Torah, specifically from the rabbis, meaning Torah Shebaal Peh, had a heyday with this Gemara of Rava, Hachisani, that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you've granted me life. And then in a very dramatic way, he says, Ani barachmi shamayim pirashtiha, pirashtzach, ubi'arti tameh bir yofa, God opened my eyes, and he revealed to me what's going on in this Gemara of Rava. And how can we understand this on a theological level? And what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu gave life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, there are two midos, if you wanted attributes of God, and they both, of course, reflect on the essence of God. One is called Yecholes, and the other is called Chai. Yecholes means that God has infinite powers, unlimited powers. We call it omnipotence. And Chai means that God exists as the paradigm of existence, meaning infinite existence. And here, Rav Nissen Gaon says the following. Hakoach ha-vayecholus, omnipotence, meaning endless, unlimited powers, einam nimtzoim el b'mishu chai v'chai olamim shelo yitamu shnosav. Unless a person has, I shouldn't say a person, a being, has infinite, eternal existence, that being could not have yecholus. So the concept of yecholus, as we said before, the all-powerful omnipotence, is dependent upon existence. And by the way, in a footnote, and I don't want to dwell on this because I can give you an hour lecture on this, there was a very great, outstanding Christian philosopher by the name of Saint Olsen, who lived many, many centuries ago. And he proved the existence of God based on the fact that existence is a precondition to any power in nature. In any event, that's called the ontological proof of the existence of God, for anyone who's interested. But Rav Nissen Gaon is postulating that in order to justify our belief that God has yecholes, omnipotence, we have to first establish that God is a chai chei olamim, that to him pertains existence, and existence with a capital E, which means he's the chei olamim. And he says that although this is absolutely true on a philosophical, logical, analytic level, but it's also proven in the psukim itself. And here he tells us to open up to a pasuk earlier in Sefer Dvarim, in Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Mem Dalet, and it says, Ki esol shamayim yadi, v'yamarti chai anochi liolam. So anyone who has a chumash, you're certainly encouraged to open up the chumash. Again, I'll repeat myself. Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Mem Dalet. Now, the opening part of the pasuk speaks about yodai, you know, my yad. And the end of the pasuk speaks about Chai Anochi Liolam, God's eternity. He says, Pasach, he opens with Yad. Yad represents the Yecholes of God. V'siyem b'zecher achayim. And he ends by saying that we should know that God lives eternally. Chai Anochi Liolam. And the first part of the pasuk stands on the shoulders of the last part of the pasuk, meaning, how is it that God is Yad, meaning Yecholes, he has endless powers? And the answer is, that Yecholes can only be justified because he's Chai Olamim, because Anochi Chai Li'olam. Okay, now we go back to the story of the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu says that God, you cannot destroy the people of Israel. And he starts praying on behalf of the people. He says, Mibli Yecholes Hashem, the people of the world will say that God has no Yecholes. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to be established as an existing being, you have to have Yecholes. And Yecholes and existence are interdependent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that what Moshe was saying is correct. If he destroys the people of Israel in the desert, and I'm again translating the words of Rav Nissen Gaon as best as I can, if God is not capable of conquering the land of Israel on behalf of the Jewish nation, then the people of Israel are going to say, Ktsara yada v'toshash kocho. God doesn't have the infinite yecholes. He cannot stand up against 31 kings that occupy the land and destroy them for the sake of his children. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch, when he hears Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer and his argument, he says, Solachti kidvarecha. And what comes immediately after Solachti kidvarecha? Ulam chayani. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu that for sure you're right. if I would destroy the people of Israel, the nations of the world would say, Ein lo yecholes. God doesn't have the ability. They would not recognize and acknowledge God's might. And since they don't have any clarity about his might, Eino misbar lehem shu yochol, then Eino misbar lehem shu chai. Because again, if he's chai, if God is really chay olamim, and he has eternal existence, then certainly he would have omnipotence. He would have endless, unlimited powers and yecholes. And therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu was successful in doing on behalf of Klal Yisrael is, so to speak, convincing, logically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol, that the people that occupy the world will deny God's existence. They will not admit that God is Chei Olamim, because if God is existent per se, if God is the par excellence of existence, then certainly he has unlimited powers. And now they're going to claim, well, God destroyed his people because he couldn't have the ability, God didn't have the powers to take over the land of Israel. But now that God's Yecholes will not be questioned, so too his existence as Chai V'Kayim, as we said before, the ultimate paradigm of existence, the par excellence existence, is therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Solachti kidvarecha, ulam chai ani. And Rava says what this means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Moshe chisani. What does it mean, Moshe chisani? It means that as a result of your argument, your prayers, you gave me existence, so to speak. It means that now the people of the world will accept my existence. You have proven to the people of the world that I exist. And therefore, Hayanela mi'od v'siyeni HaKadosh Baruch Hu legaloso ulefarsho. He says at the end that God gave him this special insight, says Reb Nissen Goyen, to strengthen me and help me come up with this interpretation. Lo reisi adam shekmanani b'zeh. He says, I don't see anyone before me who ever gave this answer. And this is what it means, Moshe chisani. So it's really fascinating that Reb Meir Simcha quotes this piece, this insight of Reb Nissen Goyen to the concept of Moshe chisani here in this context. Because this really underlies the very basis for our prayer of Zochreinu L'Chaim. Our prayer of Zochreinu L'Chaim means that God, if you give us existence, then we will prove your existence. Your Yecholes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that even though perhaps in the courts, in the heavenly courts, we don't deserve life, but nevertheless, God, you will intervene. With your omnipotence, you will be able to save us and grant us life. And that is the greatest shevach of all, because if you have this ultimate omnipotence, unlimited powers, that you could save us, just like when Klal Yisrael, after the Chedam Aradlam, didn't deserve to live, but God saved them, and that indicates God's Yecholes, and therefore God is going to take the people into the land, so too, every year, during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we admit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we don't deserve to live. We're like Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. We should be destroyed. We are sinners. But yet, Zochreinu L'Chaim, if you will overcome all the kitrug up in Shamayim, all that terrible prosecution against us, and you will spare us, that is the greatest shevach, because that proves if you have ultimate yecholes, then you exist as a chei olamim, and that's the great shevach HaKadosh Baruch. All this, which took me about 15 minutes, is implicit in one line in Rabbeir Simcha. Now Rabbeir Simcha turns to the next question. And that is, what justifies integrating a bakasha into hodoyah, the last unit of three brachos, where we say Zochreinu L'Chaim, Kotzveinu L'Chaim Tovim. And furthermore, why is it that in the first In the first statement, when we say, Kosvenu b'sefer ha-chaim, we don't mention Chaim Tovim. Only in the second, at the end of Tefillah, we say Kosvenu b'sefer ha-chaim. So point number one is that at the end of the Kosvenu, we add three words. Lemancha Elokim Chaim. What does that mean? Grant us life for your benefit, God. You, the living God. And the answer is Pashut now, according to Rav Meir Simcha. We're not asking for life as a bakasha. We're asking for life because Lo Amesim Yaluka, because this is the only way that we can sing your praises, God. So it's Lemancha. Ultimately, our goal is Kaviyachol, because HaKadosh Baruch, as we said, feigns, makes believe that he needs our praise. We are praising God for your benefit. And it's Lemancha Elokim Chaim, because by sparing us, by protecting us and saving us, we will be able to prove Chaim that you are the Chei Olamim. We are going to be able to establish your existence. L'chein ein mazkir v'sholosh rishonos chak l'chaim bilvad v'lo l'chaim tovim. Chaim tovim, when we add the word tovim, is already what we call bakoshas tzrachav shel adam. We're asking for the good life. Well, that's not necessary. From the perspective of Shevach, we don't have to add the word Chaim Tovim. Chayav Adam Levarech Ala Ra Kishem Shu Levarech Ala Tov. Whether it's Tov, the good life, or it's Ra, the bad life, we still are required to bless God. So that by adding the word Tovim, we've already shifted from what we could categorize as Shevach, because we're asking God to give us Chaim so that we can fulfill our obligation, establish and prove God's great existence, and praise God. Now it's transformed into a Bakoshas Tzrochav. I'm asking for Chaim Tovim. Chaim Tovim is not necessary for our purpose of Shevach. We can achieve that goal even without Chaim Tovim. So Rav Meir Simcha says the following. There's a fundamental difference between Shevach at the beginning of Shmon Esrei, the first three brachas that form a unit, and Hodaya in the last three brachas at the end of Shmon Esrei. And he says by asking for Chaim Tovim, which as we said before is now Bakoshas Tzrachav, which we could not possibly integrate into the first three brachos, because to ask for the good life, that's already a personal supplication. And that doesn't belong. That's a hefsek in the first three brachos of Sheva. But rather, he says, Rak bakoshas tzibur. The last three brachos allow and are flexible to admit what's called bakoshas tzibur. She'im yu chayim gam ken yesh mefarsim yitzius Hashem yisbarach ha'echad. We could publicize the one God, the existence of one God, even if we only have Chaim. We don't need Chaim Tovim for that. So certainly we're talking about a Bakoshas Tzrachav. And as I said before, and we have to emphasize this point, it would be out of place in the first three brachos. But however, Sholosh Achronos Medabrim Bozeh. We could have Bakoshas Tzrachav in the last three brachos. And how is that so? Kamosha kosuv tosis besof perik ein omd. You have to learn Masechta Brachos. What is it, the fifth perik? I forget exactly what number. I think it's the fifth perik, perik ein omdim. And take a look at Tosa at the end of that perik. And in his very typical style, Rav Meir Simcha expects us to do the work. He gives us only a hint and a clue. And we open up Tosfos at the end of Perek Eina Omdu, which is Brachos Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Alef. And once again, we owe a debt of gratitude because Rav Kupin in the footnote gives us the whole Gemara. And the Gemara says the following, Al Yishal Adam Tzrachov. A person should not ask for his needs, Lo Begimel Rishonos V'Lo Begimel Achronos. That's what it says in the Gemara. But Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, in turn, quotes Rav Haigon. Dafka liyochid, aval tzorche tzibur sholim. If we're asking on behalf of the entire tzibur, that is something that's appropriate, even within the context of these three brachos. However, which three brachos? He says, Lekachanu omrim zachreinu, we could add zachreinu, and the reason, says Tosfos, is sharei ikar brachos achronos tzorchei tziburim. There's something very unique about the last three brachos, if you read them carefully, especially Sim Shalom. We are actually integrating bakashos into a section, a unit of three brachos that are totally exclusively hodoya. We should be thanking Hashem. Why is it that there are so many bakashos in the last three brachos that are injected? They seem like they're a chatzitza, you know, they're a hefsek, they don't belong there. And the answer is because it's bakashas hatzibur, tzorchei tzibur. And the way Chazal created the last three brachos, they allowed for bakashas tzorchei hatzibur. Now, in effect, what that really means is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants life to the entire tzibur, amongst those people, there will be tzaddikim. And that's the greatness of a tzibur, because although if I come personally and I say, God, please give me the good life, who am I? Do I deserve it? That's a pure bakasha. And for sure that would be out of place in the first three brachos. But if I come as part of the tzibur, and I'm asking Hashem to grant the good life and protect the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, then now I am saying that let me be, in a sense, dragged into the tzibur. Let me be zoche to Chaim Tovim through the pipelines of the tzibur, because I'm also a card-carrying member of the tzibur. And within the tzibur, you certainly have those who are tzaddikim, and if you grant them Chaim Tovim, they'll be able to praise you. They'll be free of all the fetters of being unhealthy, of being poor, poverty-stricken, and so on. They'll be able to be free to bring out the Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, the very fact that it'll be Tzadik V'Tovlo, that itself is a Pirsum Shmo Yisporach. That itself is bringing about the glory. So we thank Hashem because we're already anticipating that God in His great compassion will grant the Tzorchei Tzibur, because of God's very profound and unique relationship, His love for the tzibur. Like David HaMelech says, "Bechazdecha batachti, yageli bibishuasecha." Even though it's batachti, batachti means God hasn't yet fulfilled and implemented this great chesed, but batachti. When it comes to the tzibur, we can have total bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have compassion on the tzibur, and therefore, we can already recite thanks and hodoya, anticipating that great compassion that God will show towards the tzibur, because within that tzibur there are tzaddikim. V'chein im yu b'chayim, az afim einam tovim gam ken yivarchu shem Hashem yisbarach. And again, going back to his original point, and I skipped the tour for a moment. We'll come back to the tour in the name of the Maharami Rutin, because he takes a totally different approach. He's pointing out that in the case of the Gimel Rishonos, there to ask for Chaim Tovim would be totally inappropriate, because we don't need Chaim Tovim in order to fulfill our purpose on this earth of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll prove it to you, he says. From a Gemara at the end of Yoma, the Gemara says, Hein Hein Gvurosov, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora. Yirmiyah said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, but he left out Nora, because how can we praise God as Nora when we see the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the Mikdash? Daniel, who saw the Jewish people subjugated as slaves to the nations of Babylon, he dropped the word Gibor from his tefilos. The Anshe Knesset Gdola said, on the contrary, Zui Gviroso, Zui Nora Osov. Il moli morosh al kodesh baruch hu, heich uma achas yichol iskayim beno umos. We're talking about a sheep, a kizba, shomedes bein shivim zkenim. Shivim ze'evim. So there's 70 wolves, the 70 nations that surround this one little shepsela and threaten and want to destroy him. How could this shepsela, how could this little sheep continue to exist? And that itself becomes sheva. So we see that even in moments of catastrophe, of tragedy in Jewish history, when our enemies are subjugating us, they're exiling ourselves, we are becoming slaves, we are beginning to be destroyed, even so, we can open up our Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the beginning of the Tefillah by speaking about Akel, HaGodol, HaGibor, HaNora, the Gvura and the Noros of Hashem, that Hashem, despite the enemies that are threatening to destroy us, He protects us so that we can continue to exist like one Kizba among Shivim Ze'evim. That is part of our Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if a person is alive and he's living through a period of time which is so difficult, so full of tragedy, but nevertheless, he can still add the words Begvura, Hagibar, Vanora, and praise of Hashem. And therefore, on that level, Zachreinu L'chaim, all we need is Chaim. And that's enough to justify L'man Chalukim Chaim, that this is part of Shevach, because our purpose in life, and this is what we're asking God to grant us life, is that we be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Chaim Tovim, that already upgrades the level of bakasha to a personal bakasha of Chaim Tovim. That's not necessary for Shevach. We can achieve Shevach and recite Hakel HaGodol HaGibor VaNora, HaGibor VaNora, even with a life that's not what you'd call and classify and describe as Chaim Tovim. So now we have a problem. How could we add the word Tovim and ask Hashem to write us in the books of Chaim Tovim? And the answer is, that becomes a She'elas Tzrochav Shel Rabim Shel Tzibur. And that's how the last three brachos as a unit are different fundamentally than the first three brachos. As Rabbeinu Tam says, that the Ikar Brachos Achronos Tzorchei Tzibur, that the main backbone and essence of the last three brachos is Tzorchei Tzibur. And if Tzorchei Tzibur means that the people of Israel as a whole are asking for a different kind of a life of Chaim Tovim, that's absolutely appropriate for the last three brachos. That is a hodaya to HaKadosh Baruch, as we said before, because we thank Hashem for giving us continued existence that the people of Israel can retain and sustain their existence despite the fact that there are Shivim Zakenim that are attacking us and threatening to destroy us. And now, Rabosai, we're up to the second paragraph. Again, I'm going to ask you to hold on to your questions a little bit longer, but we will have time for questions in Mirtz Hashem. Vizarach mi Seir Lomo. There's a very, very famous Sifri. It appears in many Midrashim of Chazal on this Pasuk. And God goes to the nations of the world asking each nation if they want to accept the Torah before he approaches Klal Yisrael, who respond, Nasa v'nishma. He comes to Bnei Esav and they say, Maksiv be, what's in the Torah that you want to give us? And God responds, it says, Lo Tirtzach. So they say, what are you talking about? Al Charbatach Tichye. I mean, Esav, we are Esav. Al Charbuk HaTichya, our very essence is murder. He comes to the Bnei Amonu Moav. They ask what's written in the Torah, and Hashem responds, Lo Sinov, immorality is prohibited. Kol Atzma Shel Erva Shelahem, Vatarena Shtei Benos Lot Me'aviyah. The Bnei Amonu Moav are descendants of Erva, of a relationship between a father and his two daughters. He goes to the Bnei Yishmael, they ask, what's in this Torah, Lo Signov? Well, the Torah describes Yishmael as Pera Adam, Yodo Bakol, V'yad Kol Adam Bo, V'yad Kol Bo. They are absolutely dedicated to stealing. And therefore no nation amongst the nations of the world were willing to accept the Torah until HaKadosh Baruch Hu approaches Klal Yisrael and they respond, Nasa V'nishma. Says Rav Meir Simcha, I don't understand the logic of the Umos HaOlam. What were they thinking? And here Rav Meir Simcha puts on his Lamdisha thinking cap, and he asks a kasha that's based on his status as an Ish Halacha, as the man of Halacha. He says, wait a second. We have Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And what do they gain by saying, we don't want to accept the Torah? Let's take Esav, just as an example. Well, it says Lo Tzirtzach. They don't gain anything. Because anyway, they're going to be enjoined from Lo Tzirtzach, because that's one of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. In the case of Yishmael, we're talking about Lo Signo. Also written as one of the seven, included as one of the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. In the case of Bnei Amon u'Moav, the Iser of immorality. That's also included under the Sheva Mitzvot b'nei Noach. So what are they thinking? What are they hoping to gain by non-acceptance of the Torah when, in any event, those particular Isurim and violations which they find antithetical to their very essence is anyway going to be imposed upon them? And they're going to be enjoined from Arayas and from Shvichas Domim and from Gneva under the laws of Shivas Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Says Rav Meir Simcha, to understand the logic of the Umos HaOlam and their refusal to accept the Torah, we have to learn a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now again, if we had the time, I would ask you to write this down like a student, if you're not familiar with the sugya, because you have to know the rules of the game. There are many mitzvot that were given to Bnei Noach at the beginning of the Torah, and those mitzvot were incorporated in the Torah that was given to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai. And what are the rules? How do we know if a mitzvah that was given before Har Sinai is given to the Bnei Noach, or it's given exclusively to Bnei Yisrael? And there are two technical rules. We'll take them right now superficially as technical rules. We don't understand why. I mean, there are explanations, but that's not for us now. The first rule is called Mitzvah Shenemra LeBnei Noach V'Nishneis B'Sinai LaZev LaZeh Nemra. If the Torah addresses this mitzvah twice, once to the Bnei Noach before Har Sinai, and the other to Bnei Yisrael after Har Sinai, then this mitzvah is common to both Bnei Noach and to Klal Yisrael. But if the mitzvah is given to the Bnei Noach and it's not repeated to Bnei Yisrael and it's not incorporated in the canon of post Har Sinai, then Li Yisrael Nemra Velola Bnei Noach. So that which is omitted in the Torah in Har Sinai, the Torah is telling us that although it was mentioned earlier than Har Sinai to Bnei Noach, but the Torah was saying those mitzvahs are given to that nation that will accept the Torah, namely Klal Yisrael. So again, if the mitzvah is omitted in the Torah, meaning in that part of the Torah from Har Sinai and on, from Parshas Yisrael and on, that indicates that the Bnei Noach are not obligated in that mitzvah. Only Bnei Yisrael are obligated in this. Again, it's a little counterintuitive. That's why I say we would need an hour to go through the sugya to explain this principle. But again, just the bottom line is that if the mitzvah was mentioned before Har Sinai and it was not reiterated after Har Sinai, then it's given exclusively to Klal Yisrael and it's not included in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Based on that, we can understand the logic of the Umos HaOlam. Why? Hayesvurim Agoyim, what did these Goyim think? Shelo Tirtzach, Lo Tigzal, and the Yisr Arayas, Einon Nishneis B'Torah. Again, they didn't know the Torah wasn't given yet. So they thought that these mitzvahs were not repeated in the Torah. They're not incorporated into the Torah itself. Therefore, according to the rule that we've mentioned, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, those mitzvahs are given exclusively to Bnei Yisrael, which means that we don't have those mitzvahs. And it couldn't be that although they were given to Bnei Noach, right, there's a whole pasuk about Lo Tirtzach, when Noach comes out of the Teva, right? And in any event, that was given only on a temporary basis to reveal a mitzvah, a prohibition in this case, that is exclusive and applicable only to Bnei Yisrael. So they convinced themselves in their own mind, like for example Esav, that since Lo Sirtzach is not going to be repeated a second time, it's only mentioned before Har Sinai, in Parshas Noach in this case, therefore they will not be obligated, because obviously according to the rules of the Torah, such a mitzvah is given exclusively to Bnei Yisrael. And therefore this is great news for, let's say, Esav, because Esav really believes that the Torah will not include Lo Tirtzach, meaning that Lo Tirtzach is given exclusively to Klal Yisrael. We're free, therefore, unless we accept the Torah. But if we don't accept the Torah, then, as Bnei Noach, we're not obligated in Lo Tirtzach. And therefore, we can continue Al Chabra Chasichia in our way of life and continue to commit murder. And it's not immoral. It's not against the will of God. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Hirvichu Bnei Esav Mashalo Kivlu. Why? De Hutra Ritzicha V'chayotzev. And you could apply the same thing to Gneva for the Bnei Yishmael, Tarayus for the Bnei Amon Omosa, Omoa. Lachen Kishashalu Mak Sivbe. They thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, Mak Sivbe, well, it doesn't mention Lo Sirtzach, which means that Lo Sirtzach is given exclusively to Bnei Yisrael. Omar Lahem. And to their chagrin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Lo Sirtzach. The Lo Sirtzach will be repeated, will be reiterated a second time, in the Aseres HaDibros in this case. And therefore, it's given to both Bnei Noach and to Klal Yisrael. Which means we go back to our original argument, why do you refuse to accept the Torah, Esav? What do you lose what do you gain by refusing to accept the Torah? In any event, Lo Sirtzach is going to be one of the Shiva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And he concludes this presentation with the following words, which are really revolutionary. And he says, "Deratzan Hashem Yisbarach Hayashi Yikablu Es HaTorah." HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to convince the nations of the world that they should accept the Torah. And therefore, logically, he said to them, what do you gain by refusing to accept the Torah? You think that therefore you're not going to be obligated in Lo Sirtzach? You're going to be included in Lo Sirtzach anyway, because Lo Tzirchus is going to be in the Torah. And anything that's written in the Torah as a repetition of that which is given to Bnei Noach leaves the Bnei Noach enjoined from that prohibition. And therefore you will be, in any event, enjoined from Lo Sirtzach. And this is revolutionary, because we always understand that when God went to the nations of the world and asked them if they want to accept the Torah, the last thing that God wanted was that they should say yes. God was just protecting Klal Yisrael. You know, later on the Umas HaOlam are going to claim at the end of days that God didn't offer us the Torah, we would have accepted the Torah. Why are we held responsible and getting punished? And the answer is that God went around from nation to nation and they all refused to accept the Torah. So don't give us the excuse that we didn't give you the alternative and the option to receive the Torah. And that's the way we classically understand this Chazal on Vizorach Meisir Lomo, and the statement in the Sifri that God went to every other nation. So the nations will be robbed of their excuse, well, we didn't have the Torah, we didn't have the option of accepting the Torah. Says Rav Meir Simcha, no, that's not true. He disagrees with all those commentaries. Because as we said many times, Rav Meir Simcha is the spitz, he's the epitome, the personification of originality. And he says, no, God actually wanted to convince the nations of the world that they should accept the Torah. And God said to them, my friends, you're making a big mistake. Your calculation is incorrect. At the end of the day, you don't gain a thing by not accepting the Torah. Because if your purpose in not accepting the Torah is because you want to be free of Lo Sirtzach, in the case of Bnei Esav, oh no. Lo Sirtzach is going to be described or categorized as Nemro Lebnei Noach, V'nishneis b'sinai. And if it's Nemro Lebnei Noach and Nishneis b'sinai, then we apply the principle of Zev v'lezeh Nemro. That is the second presentation of Rav Meir Simcha. Now the one thing that I find that's missing in Rav Meir Simcha is, why was God, in quotation marks, unsuccessful in convincing the Bnei Esav that they had nothing to lose? Rav Meir doesn't address that. I can only assume that although Lo Sirtzach was primary on their mind, they were also worried about the other 612, and they would be much more satisfied and complacent if they only got 7 instead of 613. Now, I see that we're running out of time, but what I'm going to try to do at least is to introduce the next piece. We won't be able to finish it. And for this, you have to fast forward, skipping 2 small paragraphs to Lamed Gimel Pasuk Dalet, one of the most famous psukim in the entire Torah. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marasha Kilis Yaakov. And the Gemara at the end of Makkah says that Torah is Bigmatria 611. And Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe means that Moshe Rabbeinu would transmit 611 of the mitzvos, and the other 2, Mipi Agvura, Klal Yisrael heard them directly from the voice of God. That's Anochi V'lo Yih. And Rabbi Meir Simcha has 2 brilliant insights just in the first paragraph. Again, there's more to it than that, but we won't get to that. First of all, he says, Marasha Kehilas Yaakov. The word Marasha is indicative of what we call an achuzo. Achuzo, achuzas karka, is a certain piece of property, a real estate, that is passed down from one generation to the other, and within the Jewish legal halachic structure, the law is that you could never sell such a piece of karka litzmitut, meaning for all eternity. You could sell it up till Yovel. It's only going to be a mechira lizman. It's going to be a time limited sale. He says the following. When God gives us the mitzvos, can we sell the mitzvos? What do you mean by selling the mitzvos? He means, can we bargain that under certain conditions, we have to violate the Torah itself? And this is a Gemara in Masechta Yevamos, which is called Lemigdar Milsa. That a Navi, during one period of time, whatever that is, when there's a definite need, the prophet could say, we will override the law of the Torah on a temporary basis. Like Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel, that he violated the Isur of Shchutei Chutz, that's called Lemigdar Milsa, for a pressing need. But again, that's only on a temporary basis. However, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Tes, that there are 2 mitzvahs in the Torah, out of 613, that can never, ever lend themselves to Migdar Milsa, for a Navi to come along and say, we're going to violate these just on a temporary basis because of the necessity of the hour. And you guessed it. That's Anochi and Lo Yih. Says Rabbi Simcha, what is our relationship of Yerusha to the mitzvahs? And the answer is, it divides up into 2 categories. With regard to 611 mitzvahs, Hashem is going to say, Morasha Kilas Yaakov, which means that these are your mitzvahs, you could possess them, you could give them away on a temporary basis whenever necessary, and that's called the Mechira Lizman. However, there are 2 mitzvahs you're going to hear me, Pi Agvura, and they could never ever be sold, not even on a time-limited basis. And that's Anochi V'lo Yih. Says Rabbi Simcha, with this we'll conclude, Avol Avodah Zorah, Afil L'shah, Havi Mesis U'Midiach. If a Navi would come along and say, let's worship an idol, but only because of the need of the hour, he's considered a Mesis U'Midiach, he'll be put to death. Ki ha'emunah v'achdus, the belief in the one unity of God, as opposed to many deities, and Avodah Zorah, Havodah Lo Levad, the fact that we exclusively worship Hashem, He Atzmius Nefesh HaYisrael, that's the very essence of the Jewish soul. And therefore, there's no way, it's impossible, that we could ever violate these prohibitions and accept some sort of Avodah of a service and worship another deity. That would be counter, that would be undermining our very nefesh. We are a nefesh, Klal Yisrael is a nefesh Eloki, a very high kind of soul that's divine. We can never deny God even for a moment and worship another idol. And therefore, those 2 were given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, but the rest of the Torah, the balance of the 611, is Morasha Kilas Yaakov. It's a Morasha, which again, we can never part with on an absolute level for all of infinity, but we can sell it, so to speak, and give up and violate it on a temporary basis. L'migdar mils. So we were able to cover 2.5 pieces today. First, Misinai Ba, and understanding the tefillah of Zachreinu L'chaim and why it fits into Shevach. V'zarach Misir Lomo, to understand how God was trying to convince logically the nations of the world to accept the Torah. And finally, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, to divide up the Torah into those two categories, those mitzvahs that we heard, Mipia Gvura, that represent that very essence of a nefesh. They can never be violated under any circumstances, opposed to that which we heard through Moshe, the balance of the Torah, where there's a concept called Migdar Milsa. So thank you for joining us today, and Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom.